Hi, this is Dr. Anthony Koo. I am working at Phoenix Children's Hospital currently. I'm a pediatric anesthesiologist, and thank you for inviting me to the Converge to Accelerate conference. I will be discussing my research that's still ongoing right now, titled Enhancing the Anesthesia Experience Through Virtual Reality. So we live in a time where technology not only entertains us, but also can profoundly change the healthcare experiences, and especially for the smaller patients, the pediatric world. Today, we're going to dive into how virtual reality is helping children manage their anxiety before surgery, transforming what can be a frightening experience into something that's manageable. I have no disclosures for any of the products that are being used during this research. And this is just an outline of what I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to kind of go over the stress and anxiety component and pre-op. I'll also mention some techniques that are used to minimize that stress and why we need to minimize that stress. We'll also go over some of the gold standard medications that are used, such as midazolam, to decrease that anxiety. We'll also mention the virtual reality research that's being done and how this is being played as a variable in this research that I'm doing. And then the results of the research will be essentially explained and shown. So to a pediatric patient, or any patient for that matter, this is kind of what is experienced. So you could see it's just kind of a frightening experience for anyone to go over and see this as they're going to sleep, and who knows if they're going to wake up, and that's one of the biggest fears. So imagine being a child going into surgery. It's super scary. There's a fear of separation from your parents. There's the unknown environment, and there's a complete loss of control with these two providers that are looking at you with these bandit masks on. So stress and anxiety component is a very big component preoperatively in children. And we have calculated that about 70% of the children experience some kind of a significant anxiety before going back to surgery. And studies have shown that the more stressed you are, the more anxious you are, there can lead to more complications, like increased postoperative pain, and then more delirium when you emerge from anesthesia, and then longer recovery times. So, as I mentioned, emergence delirium does happen in these pediatric patients, specifically around ages two. In my experience, around ages two to about 10 is when they start really showing this. And the delirium actually occurs in about 12 to 18% of all children going under anesthesia, according to one research. And it's correlated directly to the level of preoperative anxiety prior to surgery. And here's a definition of what emergence delirium really is. In just layman terms, basically they just wake up like a maniac. They will do these alligator rolls in the recovery bed, thereby just compromising IV placements or just the IVs that they had. So sometimes it looks like a bloody mess because they're bleeding from the veins that where the IV was. and they just won't be able to be consoled because of this irritability in their brain at that time. We know that stress and anxiety can decrease the immune system in our bodies. So chronic stress and endothelial dysfunction can basically change the way we fight diseases. So here's kind of a pathway of certain hormonal responses that can cause some immunocompromises in some of these patients. So therefore, the less stressed you are, the better you can fight off postoperative infections, intraoperative issues, and just the goodness and all of just having the stress decrease in our bodies is just a positive experience for the patient in general. So as an anesthesiologist, we can do several things. There's ways of changing the behavioral component. And then you can also provide, some parental presence in the induction period. And you can tell jokes and, just get them at ease as much as you can. But even then, that doesn't break some of the barriers. And so we kind of revert to giving some medication to pre-medicate these patients to decrease their stress so that we can hopefully get that state where they don't have to have these complications in the postoperative period. So basically, we try not to give or try not to bring patients back with the parents, because the parents sometimes are unused to what's going to happen, and sometimes they become the patient themselves as they're trying to see how their child is going to sleep. As I mentioned, there are ways of sedating the patient before going back. And one of the ways that is used is the pharmacological method, meaning we can give some medication pre-op by oral medication, or if they have an IV, we can give it through that way. But there are side effects to any medications, and my goal as an anesthesiologist is to decrease the medication as much as possible, yet achieve the same kind of goals if we can. So the gold standard medication that we usually use is midazolam, or Versed, and this is a benzodiazepine that can effectively do the sedation part of it, or decrease anxiety prior to to the induction of anesthesia. Other methods are ketamine. We can use clonidine, Presidex. These are different categories that you can attack in the brain, and other benzos as well. But ideally, we try not to use these medications if we don't have to. And some people just go straight to them because it's just so easy to use them as the adjunct to go ahead and try to put that patient to sleep. So midazolam, it's a great drug, I think, but there is some side effects to this medication. There are side effects to this medication because basically you have 3 to 8% of the patients that can have a paradoxical reaction to this medication, meaning the opposite of what you want. So instead of going to sleep, on the left here in this picture, you have a patient that's even more irritated on the right and before induction. Although they might not remember what happened, the parents see that, and it becomes a very messy situation before going back to surgery. So We can also distract the patients. So we can distract them by giving them an iPad, playing games with them, playing music, and but the background of this research is basically we're just trying to see if the distraction techniques are enough to decrease anxiety without having those negative effects of those benzodiazepine medications. And there was hardly any research that's being done to compare the medication protocols that we have, such as the gold standard midazolam, to these distraction techniques, specifically the VR, virtual reality induction. So that's what we're studying in this research. So virtual reality has been studied before. They have been used in actually since the late 70s. There has been VR research being done on patients that have had dressing wound changes for burn patients, have shown that they decrease the amount of opioid use while they're using VR to play games during that procedure. And currently, they are being used to help with just procedural distractions like port placements or, I mean, port access for cancer patients and sickle cell patients that get injections or anything that's invasive. They have tried using these. But there isn't much research done on virtual reality decreased anxiety for patients going under anesthesia right before surgery. Let's have some fun. So, right, I want you to imagine you're a kid facing surgery. What would you choose? VR goggles or midazolam, right? So I think most of the kids would like to take a video game if they can play. So in our study, basically we're testing out the battle between virtual reality versus giving preoperative midazolam in these patients. We used a company called Kind VR. They provided us with the equipment. They provided it with the software. It's called Kind VR Aqua. Basically, it's an underwater swimming program where you're swimming around and shooting bubbles at fish and whales. And basically, this would be used right before surgery, before they go to sleep. So let's go over the study design. The inclusion criteria for this randomized control trial was basically you have to be 5 to 11 years old. You had to be undergoing elective tonsillectomy or adenoidectomy. That's the only type of surgery I chose for this type of study. They have to also have a MyPath score, which is a anxiety score that's greater than 40. So this is assessed by the child life specialist that's at their bedside before surgery happens. So once we have this criteria, we get the consent. Basically, they are randomized into getting the VR goggles or they're getting by mouth midazolam medication 15 minutes before surgery. So one group will have this VR goggle game they're playing right before, and then one is just kind of knocked out and just kind of sedated before we go back, and then we'll roll back into surgery, both of them in the same inclined, semi-inclined bed position, and then we'll go to sleep. And usually when they go to sleep, what we do is because they don't have an IV, we induce them with anesthesia gas. So they'll put the mask over the patient. And basically, at that point, they will inhale the anesthesia gas and go to sleep. So at that point, we'll score how they went to sleep and how well they actually were cooperative with us. And Based on those criteria and those results, we just wanted to see what the effects of VR goggles versus midazolam was. Here is a picture of like how they would be playing in real life this VR goggle, and they'll be moving their head and they have earphones around so that they can interact with this game controller. Again, we standardized the protocol and decreased any confounding factors. We used the same anesthesia type and medications that were given to each of these patients. So you have the anesthesia gas, we have some steroids, opioids like morphine, and some antiemetics like Zofran. So again, only one type of surgery, so we just try to pinpoint that it's just the results were based on just the differences in using VR versus midazolam. We used only one child eye specialist in this whole assessment period, so we have not changed that. Just want to make sure that the bias isn't super variable. And we also limited the number of observers scoring how they did postoperatively. Again, demographics were as follows. The N was 27 at the, currently we're up to about 30, 37 right now. So we have, I'm giving you data that's based on the 31 that we actually compiled. Mean age is about 7, BMI is about 17.2. So what do we find? Very interestingly, we in our study, the VR reduced anxiety by an average of 28.3 points, while the midazolam group reduced it by 20.1 points. So that's a big difference. here you see that the red is the VR treatment, and then the blue is the midazolam treatment. So preoperatively, they showed a similar effect, but at the same time, VR tended to win a little bit on the postoperative treatment side of things. Just even from this, you can tell that we can say that VR is equivalent or better than the midazolam group, which would mean that that we could use this in replacement of giving midazolam. We also looked at the induction compliance. So induction compliance is basically a score that that you're given of how well they went to sleep. So midazolam, you know, had this on the left and then VR on the right. I don't think that was as significant, but it's significant enough that that VR did win a little bit in here. Postoperative pain, we looked at the morphine equivalents of how much medications were used, how much of the morphine opioid medication was used, and VR and midazolam were about the same as far as how much that was all collected. So that was previously, that was the postoperative analgesia. This is the proper postoperative morphine use. Again, very similar, not significant. Emergent delirium, as we talked about, very similar to these two groups as well. So what can we conclude? I feel that our research is showing VR is as effective as the gold standard for analgesic, anxiolytic in helping children get through the anesthesia preoperative induction period. Which the gold standard being the PO medication. And it has no improvement in changing other outcomes at the moment, but we still have to gather more data on that. If so, at least at this point, we can say ages between 5 to 11, if you're getting tonsils or adenoids taken out, it's safe to use VR prior to surgery to minimize any detrimental outcomes of using midazolam as a medication. So in fact, we can certainly just substitute that with VR goggles or at least that game that we have chosen. So what are some pitfalls that we have? What we're worried about is just the power of the study is a little low. We just need to get to 40 to finish the study, to get a pilot research study status, essentially. There can be some subjective bias in that one observer, in the observers that we have and the child health specialist that we chose. But it's really hard to blind the observer to the research arm because one's a medication and one's an equipment they use and a technology they use there in front of their faces. We probably should include in the future the different types of surgeries, but again, this research was basically to pinpoint and decrease the confounding factors as much as possible. And again, we can also diversify the population of patients that we obtain for future research. In the end, as all surgeons say to us, blame anesthesia, which we don't all believe, but I think there is a good component that technology like VR goggles can be a very beneficial effect or beneficial adjunct to how we administer anesthesia and keep these patients calm as possible. And so these are my references. Just thank you for joining me and exploring how a simple gaming technology can reshape medical experiences. We have to think beyond medicine here, and the marriage between technology and medicine is super important these days. And so if we can use that efficiently and innovatively to decrease the complications of some of the historical complications that we've had, I think that's just the one step in the right direction for providers in medicine currently. Thank you.